LaHood and Babbitt may be in denial over controller naps. Sikorsky shows off the X2 in Nashville. And GE breaks ground on a $51 million R&D center. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 19th, 2011. For all the talk about solving the problem of air traffic controllers falling asleep on the job, U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood and FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt may be living in denial, according to sleep experts. In announcing changes to scheduling rules, LaHood said Sunday, quote, "We expect controllers to come to work rested and ready to work and take personal responsibility for safety in the control towers. We have zero tolerance for sleeping on the job," unquote. Babbitt, in noting that the FAA can provide adequate time off but can't force controllers to use it sleeping, added, quote, "Taking advantage of the time you have to rest is also a professional responsibility," unquote. But the Associated Press reports that scientists and the FAA's own fatigue working group say the only realistic way to make humans perform adequately during hours when their bodies are programmed to sleep is exactly what controllers have been discreetly doing for years, taking naps during the graveyard shift. Some countries build that into scheduling expectations, and Germany and Japan even provide quiet rooms. LaHood's reaction? Quote, "On my watch, controllers will not be paid to take naps. We're not going to allow that," unquote. Bill Voss, president of the Flight Safety Foundation of Alexandria, Virginia, observes, quote, "Given the body of scientific evidence, that decision clearly demonstrates that politics remain more important than public safety. People are concerned about a political backlash if they allow controllers to have rest periods in their work shifts, the same way firefighters and trauma physicians do," unquote. Dr. Charles Chisler, chief of sleep medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, tells the AP that studies show 30% to 50% of night shift workers report falling asleep at least once a week while on the job. If you're a security guard or janitor working alone, you'll usually get away with it. If people call you on the radio expecting an answer, you get caught. It's a little ironic, but Hank Krakowski, scapegoated and forced to step down last week as FAA's ATC chief, may be the only person involved in this controversy who is sleeping well this week. The U.S. Army Aviation Association of America annual professional forum and exposition is underway through tomorrow in Nashville, Tennessee. One of the exhibits at the show made big news last year, Sikorsky's X2 technology demonstrator, which set an unofficial rotorcraft speed record of 250 knots in level flight on September 15th. Sikorsky plans to design, build, and fly two S-97 Raider prototype light tactical helicopters based on the X2, to enable the U.S. military to evaluate the viability of a fast and maneuverable next-generation rotorcraft for a variety of combat missions. GE Aviation broke ground Thursday on its new Electrical Power Integrated Systems Research and Development Center, which works out to the clever acronym EPIS Center, on the University of Dayton campus in Dayton, Ohio. The $51 million center will be built on about 8 acres on the campus on River Park Drive. Lorraine Bolsinger, president and CEO of GE Aviation Systems, predicts, quote, "This location and future facility will help all stakeholders in attracting high-caliber engineering talent. The center will be a catalyst for new contracts and products, resulting in job growth at the epicenter and at GE locations such as Vandalia," unquote. The university is working with Citywide Development Corp. to build the facility to GE's specifications. GE is finalizing a long-term lease agreement with the University of Dayton and Citywide. The 120,000-square-foot facility is expected to be completed by the third quarter of 2012 and operational by the end of next year. Up next on ANN, Cessna has a new Citation dealer in China. Pure Power engine operators get improved support. And Canadian Helicopters expands in the Asia-Pacific market. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 19th. I'm Paul Plagg. At the Shanghai International Air Show last week, Cessna announced that Genesis Aviation of Shanghai is now an authorized sales representative in China for Citation business jets. Genesis joins longtime Cessna representative Aviation Supplies in marketing Citations in the People's Republic of China. Trevor Essling, Cessna's VP for International Sales, says of Genesis, quote, "Because of their work in corporate mergers and acquisitions, they are uniquely positioned to advise growing manufacturing, mining, and finance companies, as well as high net worth individuals, on the benefits of business jet use and ownership," unquote. He adds that Genesis principals Michael Lindell and Frank Wu have been involved in the China aviation scene for many years as consultants and facilitators, and both have an excellent relationship with Cessna Finance Company. A new flexible maintenance plan designed exclusively for Pratt & Whitney's Pure Power engine family is now being offered by the company. Pure Solution will be delivered by Pratt & Whitney's service network, as well as new network partners serving as centers of excellence. Pure Solution will help ensure predictable maintenance costs and maximize the Pure Power engine's performance over its lifespan, resulting in the lowest cost of ownership. The largest helicopter transportation services company operating in Canada said Thursday that its wholly owned subsidiary, Canadian Helicopters Limited, will acquire the assets of Helicopters NZ Limited, including the shares of Helicopters Australia and other active subsidiaries, as well as the assets of Helicopter Nominees Limited. The deal is valued at about $127 million on a debt-free and cash-free basis and is subject to customary adjustments. HNZ has operated for 55 years. Its head office is in Nelson, New Zealand, and the company has 11 bases to support operations across New Zealand, Australia, Laos, and Cambodia. HNZ also has a corporate office in Perth to support its significant Australian operations. HNZ has 181 employees, a modern fleet of 33 helicopters, and revenues of about $66 million. Still ahead, the Curtis Museum celebrates the Naval Flight Centennial. A laser attack earns a prison sentence. And TSA doesn't want to hear your back talk. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 19th. I'm Paul Plagg. A special exhibit honoring the Centennial of Naval Aviation will open at the Glenn H. Curtis Museum in Hammondsport, New York on Saturday, April 30th. The exhibit features the museum's reproduction of the 1911 Curtis A-1 Triad, the U.S. Navy's first aircraft. Seated in the seaplane are realistic figures of aviation pioneer and Hammondsport native Glenn Hammond Curtis with his student, Lieutenant Theodore Ellison, who was to become U.S. Naval Aviator No. 1. Museum Executive Director Trafford Doherty recalls, quote, "Taking off and landing on water is something that we take for granted. What brought us to this point was the work performed by Curtis to make the seaplane a practical reality, and this is considered to be his principal achievement," unquote. A federal judge has ordered a 54-year-old Williamsport, Pennsylvania man to serve 33 months in prison for aiming a laser beam at the cockpit of a Philadelphia police helicopter. James Gautieri was also ordered to pay a $10,000 fine. Philadelphia television station WCAU reports that the helicopter was on approach when the pilot was temporarily blinded by the flash and testified in court that had the co-pilot not assumed command of the aircraft, it would have gone down in a residential neighborhood. U.S. Attorney Zane David Memiger says Gautieri will, quote, "now have several years to think about how he endangered public safety," unquote. He was arrested behind a shed with a laser pointer on the ground beside him. The case was investigated by the FBI as well as the U.S. Attorney's Office. And finally today, if you're traveling on the airlines this summer, here's some useful information. If you don't want to go through a full-body scanner or be subjected to an enhanced pat-down, try not to complain about them, even if you're chatted up by TSA personnel. Complaining about security is apparently one of 70 behavioral indicators used by TSOs to identify what they call high-risk individuals. CNN reports that very arrogant and expresses contempt against airport passenger procedures is among the behaviors TSOs are trained to identify. As part of SPOT, the Screening Passengers by Observation Technique program, a TSO may strike up a conversation with a passenger exhibiting behaviors on the SPOT checklist. Usually, TSA says, the conversation will resolve any suspicion, but it could lead to additional screening. Some civil liberty groups told CNN that the method is just a proxy for racial profiling or other unconstitutional activities on the part of authorities. I wonder if offering a screener flowers or suggesting he buy you dinner before the pat-down would get you pulled off the line. That's the latest from Arrow News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Brian Pemberton of Iridium Communications about the purpose and future of the satellite network and its applications in aviation. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Arrowcasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at arrow-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.